expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
You know that's gonna get that. It's like, geez. All right.
You can take that any way you want.
My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host once again for Sovereign Minds. Today is Sunday, May 23rd. And I'm in the studio here with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
And the kid that rocks around the clock, Cyber Dave Johnson. I'm going to shorten everything up a little bit because we have a special guest.
Good morning.
Good morning. And wow, we do have a special guest today. Kathy Darling from the Shasta County Elections Department is in the studio with us today. And so we're going to get going on that as quickly as possible. And we're really glad and happy that she came in and
is
going to take questions. And we really appreciate it. So how are you doing this morning, Kathy?
I'm doing well. And I did get married in 2009, so it's Kathy Darling Allen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You forgot the Allen.
It's all right. It's all right. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. My children are darling, so I have to keep darling around.
Oh, boy.
In more ways than one.
I got my nose rubbed in that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, sorry.
We like to think we have a little fun around here, so it's fine. Okay. So I guess where should we start? Maybe you could give us a little introduction on what you do and how long
you've been doing it.
Yeah, what your duties are, that type of thing.
Sure. So I was appointed county clerk in 2004. I came to work in the elections department in 2003 as the assistant county clerk. And then in 2004, my predecessor, Ann Reed, retired, and so the board appointed me. In 2004, and then I ran for election for the first time in 2006, and then again in 2010 and 2014 and 2018, and I'll run again next year.
All right.
And the office, you know, is county clerk and elections, so the county clerk side does a variety of business filings, fictitious business names. We accept passport applications, marriage licenses, that kind of stuff. But the lion's share of our time and energy and money is spent on elections.
How many staff do you have?
There's 17 of us total.
Okay.
All right. So let's get right to it. I'm getting into the chat room here as we speak. What do you know about the forensic audit that's going on in Arizona right now?
I live and work in Shasta County, California. So I know a little bit. I've read, you know, probably what you guys have all read in media, but I don't know details.
Yeah, I would think that would be on your list of things to think about just because it's in your department.
Right. No, it's something we're definitely paying attention to. But we have a lot going on in our office as well, as you all know very well, I'm sure.
Yeah, in regards to the recall, and that was one of my questions. In regards to the recall.
Well, I want to kind of stay on this just a little bit here,
okay.
And then let's go to the recall. Because I think it's important to understand what's going on in Arizona because it relates to what we're going to talk about a little bit too as far as the forensic audit that's going on and the Dominion and the passwords and all of that stuff. So my understanding is, and I've got this right in front of me, the Arizona State Senate is asking there's no compliance from the boards of supervisors as far as what's going on, and they've written a letter here that's dated May 12th, and they're asking about, you know, noncompliance. They're asking about chain of custody and ballot organization anomalies, and I think deleted databases. There's been a bunch of deleted databases.
There's also been some response to that letter, I'm pretty sure.
Since then, yeah. And yeah. I'd like to see what's kind of your take on it a little bit, because I know it's in your, you know, I know it's not here in California, but I think it's related because Dominion is getting, you know, they came back and said that they didn't, the Board of Supervisors said that, and the elections office, I guess, said they didn't have the passwords to the Dominion systems.
So I'm not familiar with that particular detail, so I can't really address it. I can talk about how we use that system, a very similar system made by the same manufacturer.
Well, can I ask you? Can I ask you straight up? Do you have the passwords?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you can
to our project within our database that is loaded on our system, three blocks down the way here. We're just a couple blocks from the elections office as we sit here in the radio station.
So you could go in and research the data to see that.
To look at the audit logs and that kind of stuff?
Well, to look at all the data and all the voting. I mean, I'm not an expert on this stuff, so I'm just kind of trying to surmise how it works. I know I've seen a bunch of PDFs on what they had in the letters, you know, that they examined, and then they came back and said they deleted everything?
So part of the, and I don't know if this is what happened or not. Again, I'm not familiar in a detailed way with what you're talking about. But part of what we do within the database when we program an election is we run what's called pre-LAT, which is pre-PRE, like before. Mm-hmm. LAT is L-A-T, logic and accuracy testing. So we load the election onto the servers. Mm-hmm. And then also we create memory cards, and we take those memory cards again, internally, inside of our office. It never leaves our office.
It's intra.
There's no cables going outside of the office. There's no internet access.
It's not hooked up to the internet. Okay.
There's no modems on those machines, regardless of how many times someone asks about modems. There are no modems. There are other vendors who build machines with modems on board that you can turn off. That's not true. With these machines, there are no modems in the precinct scanners that folks use here locally. So we do what's called that pre-LAT testing. So we load the election onto the servers and onto the machines. We run what are called test ballots, which are not real live ballots, and we are looking for a particular pattern of results. So, for example, if you're voting for president, you're looking for a 1, 2, 3 in order of those candidate names, right, to make sure you've got the correct results. And then we delete that test election.
Okay.
And then we load the real election. So if you looked at our logs, you would see loading, deleting, loading. I don't know if that's what they're seeing. But that you could see that certainly on our database because that's how it works. So I'm not sure what's happening though.
So when you say loading and unloading and all that, so how do you get the information from the surrounding precincts to the your office?
Our poll workers drive it in and walk it into the office
with a thumb drive.
Actually an SD card, just like you would use in a phone or an SDLR phone. Those little square memory cards.
So everything's on a memory card?
Correct.
Well, and is
that memory
card? And
we have paper ballots as well, right?
Well, no, I understand that. Yeah.
To back that memory card up. Go ahead.
Is that memory card encrypted, or is there any way to verify
it
and see the backlog of transactions that are on it,
That's a really great question. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, because one of my questions on that would be, could somebody theoretically go in there? Because, I mean, all this stuff is ones and zeros.
Absolutely. In
that type of application. So you would have, Biden would have a certain number of ones and zeros for a vote for him, but if somebody knew that, they could go in there and theoretically swap that out. So I'd be interested to find out if it was an encrypted
thumb drive
or otherwise.
So, yeah, and I don't know the answer to that, but I can certainly find out and
that
let
would
you guys
be nice.
Know.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't think that anybody's challenging the election in Shasta County.
Well, I was going to say, if you want to pull up the results, you'll see I'm pretty sure that President Trump won by 63 or 64%.
Yeah, again, it's not about that. There's been anomalies
within our
county. I don't think that's the idea. I think that the mistrust of Dominion voting systems is legitimate from what I've seen. And there's legitimacy in not trusting them, because if you look at the anomalies and the voting that was shut down during the night, the ballots that balloting and election laws that were changed during COVID, There's a lot of problems with what they did. They didn't run through the things through the legislature. They just did them through the...
So actually here in California, the governor issued some executive orders, and there was quite a bit of pushback, and so the legislature then enacted laws that mirrored those.
Yeah, but that's, so but that's part
is,
of...
There is state law in California.
But that's part of why he's being sued. He didn't do that till after. He did it before. He assumed the power, and then they backed him up. And that's quite a bit different than running it through the legislature. Right. You know, just because somebody's got your back, it doesn't mean that you did it properly. The other thing is that on this thing in Arizona, and also I guess it's going on, there's something going on in Georgia and all this stuff, is what would be the consequence if this audit in, if this audit that's occurring, this is a forensic audit in Arizona, what would be the consequence if they found enough anomalies to overturn that election?
I really don't know.
Isn't that a crazy question?
It is kind of a crazy question. I'm not an election attorney.
It's never happened.
Right?
Is there an answer anywhere?
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, what if they found out that the voting machines are all corrupted, or they're not, or they counted a bunch of ballots? I mean, I'm just surmising here, but I don't know. Because there's been a lot of problems with that. So going on, this is a question that I think that you should be able to explain. Explain the chain of custody and how it is documented and how's it a legal process that needs to occur?
So the beginning of the chain of custody is the firmware and software that we load onto the voting machines, what's called the trusted build that comes from the Secretary of State's office. The vendor provides that to the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State then does its whole compliance testing and certification process, and then they provide copies of the software to us with a hand transfer. So we have to either drive to Sacramento, they drive halfway here, or something like that, and we get the it's usually on a DVD directly from Secretary of State staff, so that we know that we have the correct version of the software to run both the servers and the component devices. That's the beginning of the chain of custody, and then that same standard of accountability runs all the way through the process. So when we load that software onto devices, every time we test any one of those devices, we have a standing file for each device, and that is recorded. Everything is sealed after testing is complete prior to an election. So we have single-use tamper evidence seals that are used on every voting machine. Every poll worker working in teams of no less than two has to verify all the seals that are on the machine in the morning before they open that machine to scan in the morning. And then they have to check those seals two or three more times during the day and at the end of the night to make sure they haven't been tampered with. The memory cards, when they come back to us, are also put into a secure container with, again, tamper evidence seals that come back to our office. And again, when we get those memory cards back, we're also getting the paper ballots that were scanned as well. So we can always go back to paper if we need to.
That's kind of where I'm going with the next question, because my and again, I'm throwing stuff out here a little bit in conjecture, and some of it, you know, rooted in fact, obviously, is that the part of the chain of custody thing in Arizona was that these things weren't sealed. And so that was part of the.
So they wouldn't be sealed after the election, but I'm not sure about, you know, on election day. Obviously, they should be sealed.
Well, they're yeah, it's a crazy thing.
I mean,
thing.
There's 60 devices sitting in my office right now not sealed because the election's over, and we wouldn't go back and reseal them after the election. That's just not something, that's not part of our process.
But so we could go and theoretically compare the data off the Dominion machines with the actual paper ballots, and they should match.
Correct. And we actually, that post-election audit is actually part of our legal process here in California. And if you go to our Facebook page for the Shasta County Clerk, you can see there's 12 videos posted there of that 1% hand count. And we take a whole precinct, count it by hand, and then we count, then we also pick other precincts where that have contests that weren't on that first precinct's ballots. For example, you know, school districts aren't on countywide, right? So we want to make sure that we verified every contest that was voted on in that election. And it took us 10 days to do that. We examined about 10,000 ballots for the November 2020 election. And in the code, this is called a 1% hand count. Obviously, we count way more than 1% every election.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, I'm looking at this, and evidently that's exactly what's going on in Arizona starting on this next Monday, I guess, is that they're actually going to count the actual votes, the paper votes, and compare them with the data. I think that the Board of Supervisors would be down to help with this because, you know, it would verify the results.
So I don't know what they've already done in Arizona, in Maricopa County to audit the results.
Well, they're doing a forensic audit, and the Board of Supervisors have stonewalled them at every turn for every reason that they can come up with to not have this examination done.
Well, and then there was also the 100 attorneys that tried to launch litigation against them to prevent an audit. I mean, transparency is the best way to move forward. So it's the best way to end all questions one way or another. And as long as it's legitimate, everybody should have no problem with
right.
it. But the problem is you have a fog that's over this election right now based upon the lack of transparency. Now, one of the questions that I had based upon some of the videos and footage that I had seen, there was a couple different things that I had questions on relating to Georgia and relating to some of these other locations to where they kicked out the poll watchers or told people to go home. Those ballots during that period in time, the question that I would have on that is, are those legitimate ballots? And then also, there appears to be video footage of people running through the same 100 ballots over and over again. Would there, on the ballot system, is there any way of saying that this is a duplicate ballot? It's already been run. Would that show up in the logs?
So, yes and no. So there is definitely the capacity within the system to, if you have a batch that has a ballot that jams, for example, mm-hmm. you can delete that batch and then run it again. There is a device called an imprinter, which imprints every ballot as it's tabulated with a number. We don't have those in Shasta County at this point, but I think we're going to try and get them. And that would then clearly demonstrate that the batch had been run either once or twice or whatever, because it would be imprinted every time that you ran that batch through. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's a concern that people have. But it is not unusual for part of the examination process. So when we get ballots back in the mail, we sort them into precinct order, obviously check the signatures prior to opening any envelopes. But once they have been determined that the signatures do compare to the voter registration records, then we open the envelopes, examine those ballots, unfold them, and we're looking really for whiteout and for tears in the ballot. Tears in the paper will jam up those scanners. So
if it gets jammed in there and the machine has to be reset?
It doesn't have to be reset, but we want to be 100% sure that every ballot is read correctly. And sometimes when the ballot is halfway through that scanner, you don't know if it got the front side or back side or not. Mm-hmm. So we just want to take that whole batch out, delete the batch, and start fresh so that we're 100% sure that that batch was counted correctly.
Okay.
Now, one of the other things that I had questions on, and from your experience seeing the back end of the system, so to speak, is that there was, if you would have discrepancies that would go along and the ballot would be some way or another to where you didn't know, the machine didn't read it correctly, and then you would have the ability, from what I've heard, to go in and say this ballot went to this one, and you can do it en masse. So let's say you had 20% or 30% discrepancies, like what some of the claims are that are out there, and you can in batch, meaning grab all of them, and say, this is the candidate that they all voted for.
I am not aware of that functionality. So the Dominion system has something called adjudication. So when we scan the ballots, we're not just counting the votes. We're also capturing a digital image, which we can then examine later. So if that digital image has, for example, two people marked for president, it's going to kick that image into a review bucket, and we're going to review it on screen. And we can determine, it depends on how that ballot is marked, right, what determination we make. If somebody just clearly marked two different candidates, then we leave it alone because we don't know what the voter wanted. We never guess, right? Mm-hmm. But if they mark one person and then cross it out and write no, and sometimes we ask them to just write us notes in English on the ballot because we can see the whole ballot card when we look at it on our screen. So if it just says, no, I wanted to vote for Trump, then we will just make that a Trump vote or whatever. So there is not, I'm not aware, and it may be the case, but I'm not the person who sits there at the screen and does that job. So I'm not 100% sure. I don't think we can do a whole batch that way, because it's precisely, I mean, we certainly wouldn't, because the whole point of that is to look at the exact ballot and to try and determine, we look at the other marks that are on the ballot and see, you know, for example, this is a fill-in-the-bubble type ballot, right? But sometimes people make an X in the bubble, or they make a check mark. So if they've marked two people under one contest, and we can see they voted every other contest with an X, whoever they gave the X to in that contest, we can say that's their intent. That's what they wanted to vote for. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
But, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
And about the Sharpies?
Oh, go ahead, because I'm ready to switch gears into the recall.
Okay, and the last one probably on this is, people are asking, there was problems in regards to Sharpies in this last election.
There was a lot of problem with information about, bad information about Sharpies. So Sharpies, I'm actually holding one in my hand because I like Sharpies. This is just a writing Sharpie.
Okay, but that's is not a regular pen.
Yeah, this is a fine point regular pen. But what the thing is that's nice about them is they don't smear. The ink dries instantly. And so when you mark a ballot with it, especially if you're in person, at home, when folks mark their ballot, obviously we have no control over what implement they use to mark their ballot. But when we have people marking their ballots in person, we want to be very sure that the scanners don't get jammed up with ink residue. So you can get a ballpoint pen, for example, which does not dry instantly, and you run enough ballpoint pens through a scanner, and the rollers are going to get contaminated with that ink. So Sharpies are our preferred marking, especially for in-person, when they're going to run that ballot through the scanner immediately. When you mail it to me or you drop it in a ballot box, that ballpoint pen or whatever implement you use has a day or two to dry. So it's not going to give us any problem in the scanners. But when you vote in person, using a Sharpie is our preferred and the manufacturer's recommendation.
I do know that the Sharpie pen was different than the Sharpies that were being used at some of the precincts.
Oh, for sure. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. This is not what we gave precinct. We gave them regular gray with the black cap. Okay. Regular Sharpies were what we sent out, for sure.
Just so
for
we're
sure.
clear on that.
Yes.
Well, in that regard, I think some of it was the information in our county. It was no issue. And in other counties, I had heard that there was some issue with the Sharpies bleeding through and that they were on older and different software. So I think you ended up having people that took that information and tried to apply it broadly over the spectrum of all of the other locations. And so that's where the information circles ended up falling apart.
Okay. I guess we have a caller on the line. We've got Jimmy on the line. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning.
You got a question or a comment for our guest?
Yeah, I got a couple of questions I'm kind of curious about. Apparently, Kathy Darling sent out a message to certain people in an official capacity to show up at the Board of Supervisors to support her with this Dominion machine thing. And I, for one, didn't hear anything about that, your typical 9-to-5er voter. And I'm just wondering why it wasn't put out to basically everybody.
Do you want me to send you an email, Jimmy?
Well, No, not necessarily. I would have liked you.
I'd be happy to.
Right, but I mean, why didn't you do that in the beginning?
So the people that I sent that email to were colleagues of mine and folks who have experience in this field, and so I thought it would be valuable to have their opinions heard as well during public comment.
Okay, but what about the typical constituent here in Shasta County? I mean, I think you should have sent it to everyone and made it more of a public notice.
Okay.
I mean, that's my personal opinion.
Thanks for your perspective.
Okay, and one more thing is, in Shasta County, how long have we used the Dominion machines?
So this particular system, we signed a lease, the Board of Supervisors signed a lease in 2017, but we have done business with that company. That company's been bought and sold and renamed multiple times. In fact, in the 1960s, when we were still using punch cards, up until 2003, the original company was Sequoia Print out of Porterville, California. And so we've done business with them for close to 50 years in Shasta County, way prior to me.
And then there was Smartmatic and Dominion. And I've looked into this company, and they seem very shady. They ran the elections in Venezuela with Maduro and Hugo Chavez,
So those folks are no longer involved as far as I'm aware. And the people that I deal with on a daily and monthly basis, the person who laid out our ballot for the Gray Davis recall in 2003, that person is the same who is providing us customer support today. So we have the core staff that work there that we deal with haven't changed, even though the company has changed hands.
Yeah, but they didn't have voting systems like Dominion at that point. It was a whole different way of going. Dominion hasn't been involved in this that long, has it?
Like I said, they were Sequoia. When I first started in 2003 at the Elections Department, the company was called Sequoia Voting Systems, and then they were purchased and sold. I think they've been bought and sold 5 times since 2003.
But they weren't computerized systems at that
point. Sure. The 2003, we had electronic, direct record electronic voting machines built by Sequoia called the Sequoia Edge.
Okay.
But then in 2007, our Secretary of State at the time, Deborah Bowen, did that top-to-bottom review for security and sent us all back to all paper. So we still had those machines, but we've been voting on paper in California since 2007.
Well, and to clarify...
go ahead, Jimmy.
Can I just ask one more question before I get off the line?
Sure.
If this Maricopa County and soon to be Fulton County, Georgia thing comes out that Dominion is completely corrupt, and I'm not saying it is or it's not, but would you absolutely consider, Ms. Darling, to going back to hand counting on the ballots? And now I'll take my question off the air. Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Bye.
Thanks for calling in, Jimmy.
So part of the problem with hand count of paper ballots in California is the length and complexity of our ballot. So if I can get a confirmation from everybody in the county, and I mean like 80,000 people, that it's okay that they don't get results for 2 weeks, we can hand count paper ballots. But really and truly, I don't believe that will ever happen. We are a very instant gratification society anymore, and we get a ton of pressure to get results out as soon as possible.
I could see, I can understand, but we also want accurate results and truthful results.
Yes.
So
I think we have to go to a break.
Let's go to a break, and then I'm going to come back.
I want to get on some recall stuff.
Yeah, I got some questions. Before we go to the break, real quick, voter ID, do you believe in it?
I do not.
Why?
Because we're never going to get it in California.
Well, that's not a reason why. I mean, that's just because we're not going to get it. But why would
you? How do you feel personally about it?
I'm really agnostic on it. My job is to follow the law, and law in California currently does not mandate voter ID.
I don't
believe we're ever going to get there with folks who are in charge in Sacramento.
That's kind of a dodge of the question, because the real question is, do we have a way of making sure that people who are voting are citizens, not illegals, not voting twice? You know, and we have to have ID for everything under the sun, including, you know, to drive, to go to school, to get welfare, whatever it is. Why would we not promote a voter ID?
I don't have the time or the energy to promote something that's not going to succeed.
Okay.
Okay, and with that, we'll go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
People get ready, have a train a coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the deep. Just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key, open the door.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're talking about Trinidad's Espiritu Series No. 2, crafted with tobaccos from Brazil and Nicaragua and wrapped in an Arapiraca leaf. Espiritu No. 2 produces a harmonious medium to full-bodied cigar with extraordinary zesty complexity and earthy notes. Come by the shop and pick up your Trinidad Espiritu No. 2 today, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
She must belong to San Francisco. She must have lost her way. Posting a poster of Poncho and Cisco one California day. She says she believes in a Robin Hood and Brotherhood and colors of green and gray. And all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray?
Sovereign Radio, home of the Free Fire Media Community Radio for the North State. Yeah, we're dipping into the oldies and goodies today, so we got a few surprises along the way. Okay, getting back to what we're talking about here, I guess I
have a caller on the line that's been hanging on for a while.
Go
so
for it.
We're going to get Rhonda on the line. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, everyone.
What can we do?
Well,
for
I'm
you?
Not Rhonda.
Well,
I'm not Rhonda, but.
Wait. We got a couple voices
we got
going
two
here.
On the line.
Yeah. Rhonda, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Now we can just hear you, I think. I think we're good. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I moved to Reading in August, and after a few weeks of trying to get settled in, I made sure I went and voted. I mean, registered to vote so that I could vote. And, in a few weeks, I got stuff in the mail, my registration card, as well as a ballot. Well, I've always walked in to vote and signed in, and I've never done vote-by-mail absentee ballot, you know. And so I had told them, no, I didn't need an absentee ballot before. And anyway, I got one anyway, so I didn't bring it to the polling booth because I didn't think I needed it. So I went in and told them who I was. They found my name. They said, do you have your ballot? And I looked at him, and I said, well, no, I'm voting here. And he said, well, didn't you get one in the mail? I said, well, yes. And he made me go back home. I said, are you serious? He said, yes. He said, you need to go, you know, you need to go get your ballot.
Yeah, and that should not have happened that way, Rhonda. I apologize.
Yeah.
We did ask folks to bring it with, but you shouldn't have had to go back and get it at your house. That's
I've had the same thing. I've had the same thing happen to me personally.
Okay.
Not in this last election, but before. Go ahead, Rhonda.
Okay. Anyway, so I went back. I got it. I walked in, and he said, okay. And I went in. I voted, gave it to them, fed it to the thing, and left. Now, when I got home, I started looking and reading some things and what had been sent to me, and I saw that they in it that you could go to the website and you could verify, you know, your that you voted and blah, 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 and that your vote got recorded. So I waited because I figured, you know, I ought to wait and check it out in the evening because I had voted earlier in the day that nothing was there. Well, I kept checking it for a couple days, and it kept saying, no one by this name is registered. So about a month ago, I was with some people, and they showed me how to put this app on my phone so that I could check on things and everything, and that there was a place to even check on whether you voted or not in the last election. So I loaded the app, put my information in, and lo and behold, it still says to this day that I don't exist as a registered voter here.
So, Rhonda, I don't want you to tell me any personal information on the air, but can you write down my office phone number and call me on Monday?
Yes.
And I will try and get to the bottom of that none of that should happen. And I'm not sure what app that you were that you're talking about that you used. But one thing that did happen in November with quite a few folks was because the ballot tracking did not work for folks who voted in person. And it caused a lot of confusion and a lot of upset with folks. But that ballot tracking system was developed and piloted by the state, by the Secretary of State's office, because we had so many people voting by mail. And voting by mail for the first time. But, of course, not every county is the same. And here in Shasta County, we had thousands and thousands of people who went to vote in person on Election Day. But we also had lots of people came and vote early in our office in the 30 days prior to the election. But so for most of those people, if you voted in person on Election Day especially, and there was over 13,000 people who did that on November 3rd, the ballot tracking software was not updated until we processed the records from those precincts. So it was several weeks before those folks got a text message or an email telling them that their ballot counted. That system is right. Totally separate from how we actually count ballots in our office. It just needs to be updated through the voter registration database, which is not connected to how we count ballots. The tabulation software is totally separate. And I apologize, you are not alone. A lot of people had problems with that, and we're working with the state now to try and make sure that that does not happen to in-person voters in the statewide recall that we know is coming soon.
And so I had another question that was deeply concerning to me over this last election. So the DMV this last election ended up auto-registering everybody that ended up coming in. And as we know in California, there is a vast percentage of the state that is sanctuary cities for illegal aliens, which have no problem with residents.
So those cities are not illegal. Connected to a State Department of Motor Vehicles. Those are separate entities, right?
But DMV did
register.
Sure, they did, and don't misunderstand me. It's problematic. They actually implemented that in April of 2018. That's when the DMVs, the new motor voter, went into effect in California. And I have said into the microphone at this table multiple times, if you visited the DMV anytime after April of 18, please check your registration status on our website.
Do you have any way?
Have so many problems.
Do you have any way of checking if a person is illegally voting?
Okay, so that's an incredibly broad question.
As far as a person
you would think
there's
that
a lot of answers there.
You would think that would be an easy question. Either you can figure out if they're illegal or not. If you can't figure out if anybody's illegal, I mean, doesn't that seem problematic?
Sorry. Are you talking about nationality and
I'm talking about fraud, citizenship, double voting. We've seen the gal that got busted down there. I believe it was in Texas. We're going around a ballot harvesting door to door and making money, getting paid for each ballot. I'm just, the question is, do you have any way of checking whether they're illegal aliens or whatever, if this is a legal vote?
So the answer is my favorite attorney answer. It depends. So for folks who are not citizens of the United States and they enter the DMV, unless they're providing the DMV with fraudulent information,
they would never do that because
they would never do that. And I can only go on what I am told, and I am told and assured by the DMV that those folks get SB60 licenses, and they're not offered the opportunity to register to vote, and they're not going to be in a registration file.
There's no way to cross-reference them that they went ahead and ended up being registered?
So there might be, but so far, and again, this is similar to the voter ID debate, right? Are our friends in Sacramento going to implement and
advocate for that kind of cross checking.
I don't think it's the people in Sacramento that we have to worry about or that they should be worrying about. I think it's the people of California. I think that the overwhelming majority of the people in California are getting tired of this setup to where we can't check the illegal voters and all of this stuff. I think it has nothing to do with the government as much as the people need to get involved and do something about
it. So on that note, observation is something that you can do in California, and we encourage it. We've had several people... in November especially, we had one person in particular who came to our office for 25 days and spent a ton of time with us, connected with the Election Integrity Project. And we would encourage anybody who has questions or wants to see the process, sign up. And you don't even have to sign up. You can just show up at the front counter before the election.
And they oversee the process at DMV. But anyway, Rhonda, are you still on the line?
Hold on a second.
Rhonda is no longer
on
the line.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Hold on a second. Okay, now I want to get to this letter a little bit, okay, that you sent out. Number one, I kind of want to know, you know, who you sent it out to. Did you just send it out to all legal voters? Did you send it out to a particular group of people? Who did you send it out to? Because
The email that I sent out, the one that was
with regards to the supervisors' meeting and the agenda. And also it says here, you may remember Shasta County has been a vendor for election technology for many years. We are aware of misinformation that has been swirling around on social media about election practices nationally over the past couple of years. Much of that recently has been about the incidences with Dominion that have been proven false. And my question is, how have they been proven false? Who proved them false? And where are you getting your news or information from?
So what I was referring to are the court cases that have been dismissed.
There's been no court cases on the actual evidence. They've all been dismissed for procedural and technicalities, so the evidence has never been looked at.
Well, and that was one of the things that was concerning, because even some of our Supreme Court justices were very upset with this and heard, at least based upon the articles that I've read, visibly shouting at each other over the fact that they dismissed some of these lawsuits based upon the fact that the election had not been done yet. And
or no standing. There was a bunch of different reasons.
Yeah, there was a lot of different
reasons.
They
said that no harm had come about yet. So they ended up doing that. And then after the election, they ended up saying, well, you can't sue now because it's already over and you can't do anything about it. So you can't sue after. You can't sue before. The states don't have standing. The citizens don't have standing.
Who does then?
People who were running don't have standing. And they dismissed these cases based upon standing, not based upon the evidence and the facts.
And I still want to drill down on where are you getting your information on that as far as, you know, do you listen to CNN, ABC? I mean, how do you get your news?
So I can only answer and be responsible for what happens here in Shasta County.
No, I understand, but I mean...
Well, no, but you're trying to hold me accountable for what happened in Georgia. And
no,
I'm
not.
I don't work in Fulton
County. I'm asking
County
you a really simple question because you said in your letter that these things have been proven false. But, you know, by who? And you're the election committee, or you're the election in charge of the elections in Shasta County, and you're saying that all of this stuff has been proven false, and you're sending a letter out.
In this county, we have performed all the required post-election audits that we were required to, and I absolutely 100% stand behind the election that we had in 2020.
Yeah, but you're
in
saying
November and in
come
March.
On, I mean, you're dodging the question. It says we
I'm
are
not dodging the
it
question.
Says in your letter, we are also aware of the misinformation that has been swirling on social media about election practices nationally. Now you're the one that's interjecting that, not
so
me.
I have been doing this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I have met election officials from across the country. I have also worked in my life in other industries. And I have never ever met a group of people that was so profoundly and seriously dedicated to what they do. I do not believe...
So we shouldn't question this.
That, no, I'm not saying that at all. Trust but verify, right?
That's what I'm trying to do. I want you to cite your information on how you proved it, how it was proven false, and you won't do it.
I won't.
Okay.
You're right. And that's primarily because I wrote an email and I hit send, and perhaps I should have done 6 weeks of research, but at the same time, I'm trying to prepare for redistricting.
You are an elected official.
I'm trying to do a lot of other work.
And you're sending out a call to action.
I am.
Okay. It says right here, a call to action about this.
What?
To to and what I'm trying to find the sentence I'm looking for here, a call to action to save our republic or something to that effect, made a request. I make this presentation on R3. I would greatly appreciate if anyone who supports our office and staff say so publicly. I'll add details on how you can do this. And, you know, basically
Mark,
it says, I'm rounding up the, this is what the sentence I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I am rounding up the troops for defense of our republic and our elections process here in Shasta County.
We're in Shasta County.
Right. Okay. So.
So if you have a question or a concern about the way we conducted the election in November, I absolutely want to know about that.
Okay. But how come, nobody received the email and we're not sure who you sent it to?
So, do you want me to send you a copy of every email I send
out?
No,
I want you to send me a copy of your email list and who you sent it out to.
Okay.
That would be good. And then we could see who you're asking to support you.
Who I'm asking to support
me. How do you determine? How did you determine who you sent it to?
I sent it to mainly colleagues of mine, other registrars in other counties. So a similar meeting happened in San Luis Obispo a couple of weeks ago at a Board of Supervisors meeting. And I'm sorry, I'm so distracted by Terry shaking his head.
Yeah, because, I mean, what would, you're saying that you're sending out for assistance locally for a Republican election here in Shasta County, and now you're saying you send it out of county to somebody else that has nothing to do with our elections here. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense.
So I and many other election officials have been threatened, have received a ton of negative feedback. This is the first election in my tenure where when people called us and had questions and concerns, they were frankly calling to explain to us how we didn't understand our jobs. And when we offered them the opportunity, and this isn't everybody, of course, but more than ever before, we experienced abuse from folks who were so upset about what was happening in other locales. For the very first time in my career, I went downstairs at one day and said, stop answering the phone. People are calling and screaming at us about what's happening in Michigan or what's happening in Georgia.
Right.
We are in Redding, California.
No, I get that.
And so, quite frankly, my concern is that our office is not the target of unwarranted attack. And so
I'm not trying to be I'm not trying to attack you as much as I'm trying to get to the bottom of what we've got as far as information. And I want to ensure that we have fair legal elections in Shasta County, and that's what this is about.
So come see what we do.
Well, I actually have been down there. I've been in counting the votes in the election process when Gary Cab was elected and won by 12 votes or whatever it was. And
11,
I don't,
but yeah.
Well, thank you. I was going to say 9 or 12, but 11 will work.
It was 11 before the recount and 9 after.
I thought it was. Never can remember, though.
So here's the thing. I think this is where people end up getting a lot of their passion about this is because you have this system that's being used across the nation, and if bad things are happening in one county, it's automatically assumed that it's going on in other counties. And so,
or potentially could go on in other counties.
Well, and so that's the thing. So like what we were discussing off air there for a little bit was some of what took place in Pennsylvania and in Georgia to where people kicked out the poll watchers and then continued adding up
there's
the votes.
Ton of stuff that's a problem.
Well, that's what I wanted to mention about observers is in California we have much more liberal laws about observation, and anybody can go into a polling place. I've never seen a picture of a polling place in Pennsylvania because you can't go in and take a picture. It's against the law.
Mm-hmm.
You can come into California polling places, and we encourage folks who have questions about the process to come in. But what happened this last election is people would call. I spent 20 and 30 minutes on the phone with people, and at the end they go, well, you sound like you're really sincere, but I think you're lying to me. So I mean, that's so disheartening.
Right.
We work so hard. My staff does not deserve to be abused. Those folks, I mean, I know there's a whole segment of people that think that government workers are making $1 million, but, you know.
Some of the government workers locally are making bank. I mean, you know, $300,000 plus benefit or with benefits.
Feel free and go to Transparent California and see how much I make.
I actually have it
feel
on
free.
I have it bookmarked.
With that, I'm going to go to the caller. We've got Bob on the line. Right. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning.
What
Kathy, thank you very much. thank you, Kathy, for what you did. I had access to your office for 25 days in a row during the general election, watching ballot processing, had workers at the precincts. There were some problems. Kathy and I have discussed numerous of them. I would go to her office, and I think I got you this time, and she would show me on the computer, show me on the paperwork backing up, and I would say 99% of the time I was blown out of the water right off the bat. Everything was on the up and up. Everything was taken care of. One question that rose up during the elections was at the precincts. People were not bringing their ballots in. They would come to the precinct to vote thinking they would get the ballot at the precinct. And they were told, oh, you have to vote, bring your ballot in. Well, they didn't want to go home, unlike Rhonda. And so they were given, in most cases, they were supposed to have been given a provisional ballot, which would be processed and voted after the date of the general election. And in other cases, in other precinct polls, they're actually given a precinct ballot and voted that same day through the machine. That was a problem. I see you said there are 13,000 provisional, or 13,000 people voted on election day at the polls.
Yes.
That's great.
Right.
How many of those were provisional? How many of those were precinct polls that were actually voted? And why would you get a precinct poll ballot and vote it the same day?
So I don't know the answer on the numbers, Bob. I don't have the results from November in front of me.
Can,
so I don't know how
those,
many. Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. So we'll talk about that later. Another thing on there was we talked about phone hotlines.
Yes.
And how you were overwhelmed because people
yes.
were not bringing their ballots in. We
yep.
couldn't verify they voted or not.
Yep.
And it was a challenge. That should have been an automatic provisional ballot. And some of the times we're getting these precinct ballots and they're going right through the machine that day.
Right.
You wouldn't like that. I didn't like that. But
no.
it happened. And I actually reported it to your office at the time. You were not in the office at the time. The rover was supposed to be sent there to resolve it. I checked back about an hour and a half later and asked for the resolution. And I was told none had been achieved because they couldn't find the rover because they were out at dinner or what have you. I went to the precinct poll myself, and it was still going on the same way. They were handing them precinct ballots right and left, and they were voting them. And I documented it. It went to Election Integrity Project in California. And it just, you know, they filed a procedural lawsuit in California, not against Shasta County. We were not mentioned in Shasta County. But it's a statewide issue with following the rules and regulations of voting. So thank you again. You opened your staff to me. They're very professional overall. I've got concerns about Dominion just because what you hear on the news, but you take that and $5 a lot of times, and I'll buy you a Starbucks sometime.
Well, here,
thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob. We appreciate the
yeah.
call.
Take care.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
So here, I think, is the crux of the matter on why you're catching heat, not just in but across the board, is that my information, and we could verify this very easily because you can go to the Secretary of State in each state and get the number of registered voters. When you total up all 50 states, Biden got 13 million more than were registered. Now, you explain to me how that's possible.
I can't. I hope you're aware that the Associated Press has a big part of aggregating election results. I don't know if that's really germane to that conversation or not.
Well, that's the crux.
Right.
That's the
right.
crux. If you do
right.
the math and you say, and you ask yourself, and I've been asking these couple of simple questions for quite some time, and this has nothing to do with your performance. I'm just saying the overall, the reason
right.
people are angry is that is Joe Biden the most popular president in the history of our country? How did he get that many votes? Because if you look at the votes, he is. Did he have big ticker tape parades? Did he fill up stadiums? Is he a great speaker? How could he possibly get 13 million more votes than registered voters? How can he possibly have gotten 13 million more votes than Trump, looking at that comparison? And how did he get 23 million more votes than Obama? That's why people are angry.
One more thing to that note, too, is Trump also increased his vote margin on this last election by 11 million votes.
First time in history.
So, this is Shasta County.
I understand.
President Trump won here.
I understand.
And our results reflect that.
And this is not an attack on you, Kathy.
Yeah.
I hope you understand
No, and so when people call and they're implacable, we cannot get them to believe that we run an efficient and an operation with integrity.
See, I believe that you do here.
Well, thank you. But my point is, they're hearing the president of the United States say that this election is not valid, and you should be able to believe the president. I don't hold anything against anybody who has doubts. We should all be able to believe the information that we read, but we know now, unfortunately, media and the internet has made, you know, any dog and pony show gives a
I would counter that with the mainstream news has made this a dog and pony show as well, because it depends on where you're getting your information from. Because
they're going to cut us off. Sorry, it's top of the hour. Please hang on, Wynn, if you would. Please, Kathy, hang on with us. That would be great. I know that I said we have you out of here earlier, but we appreciate you hanging in with us. And you've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The whole day through, just an old sweet song.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. There is still no uniformity across the country when it comes to COVID-19 restrictions. A report from Bob Agnew.
Even as the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention moved earlier this month to ease indoor mask wearing guidance for fully vaccinated people, some blue states like Oregon and Washington are still holding on to certain long-time coronavirus restrictions. Officials in Oregon are split, some insisting life will soon feel like how it did in 2019, but first more people need to get vaccinated. Others say the restrictions have lasted far too long already and people are tired of all the COVID-19 mandates. Bob Agnew reporting.
Masked Hamas fighters brandishing assault rifles have paraded through the streets of Gaza City, and the group's top leader appeared in public for the first time. Here's correspondent Ken Lorman.
Saturday's march came on the first full day of a ceasefire that halted the militant group's war with Israel, which lasted 11 days. Also on Saturday, Egyptian mediators held talks to firm up the truce, which ended the fourth Israeli-Hamas war in just over a decade. In the fighting, Israel unleashed hundreds of airstrikes against militant targets in Gaza, while Hamas and other militants fired more than 4,000 rockets toward Israel. Ken Lorman reporting.
State police in New Jersey are investigating the death of two people and the wounding of 12 others in a multiple shooting at a South Jersey residence. Officials say the police responded to a house in Fairfield Township. It's about an hour outside of Philadelphia. One local man says the shooting happened at a 90s theme party where guests range from teenagers to senior citizens. At least three people were killed and three others wounded in a shooting this morning outside a bar in Youngstown, Ohio. The local police spokesman says the gunfire was reported shortly after 2 a.m. at the Torch Club Bar and Grill. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I have a traumatizing childhood memory of an Easter egg hunt. The big hunt was a big deal in our family, and I have this memory of running and excitedly reaching for eggs, only to have my big brother and sister sweep in and steal them at the last second. It's Ryan, and unfortunately, this is a traumatizing reality our Faith and Family Mortgage team is seeing from families across the country. Families are finding their dream home, only to have it pulled away by another hunter at the last second. At United Faith Mortgage, we unfortunately cannot scare off the other hunters, but we can very quickly get you pre-approved and make it look as good as possible to sellers. And then, once you do grab that Easter egg,
see our story and read how our direct lender advantage can often save your family monthly and lifelong money at UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Middle Park Road, Midland, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1335. Rack animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Homeowners were given more opportunity to pause their mortgage payments because of the financial ravages of the pandemic, but that relief is slowly coming to an end now.
About 3 million people are behind on their mortgage, the most at any time since the Great Recession. Roughly 2 million are in forbearance plans, providing a reprieve of a year or more from making payments. Some are beginning to exit those arrangements, and experts expect the pace to pick up soon, with as many as 1.7 million borrowers exiting in September. Regulators are warning mortgage servicers to be prepared for the onslaught. Rich Thomason reporting.
Detroit police have named a former Michigan State University basketball star as the suspect in a deadly shooting late Saturday. Authorities say 29-year-old Keith Appling is wanted in connection with the shooting death of a 66-year-old man, apparently resulting from a fight. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Morocco has received more than 8,000 migrants this weekend.
While some of the migrants were received with open arms by the 40% Muslim population, others are receiving a less than warm welcome by far-right groups, who see the flood of migrants as an invasion. One migrant, Mohamed Bangoura from Guinea, says his situation has not improved since arriving on European soil. It is complicated here. No one will come to help us. We sleep in the streets. It's been 4 days. No one will support us, so we just suffer here. At the same time, many Moroccan parents are scrambling for news of their children, as authorities confirm over 400 minors were among more than 8,000 migrants who arrived in Ceuta from Morocco by scaling a border fence or swimming around it. I'm Karen Chamas.
Today is Sunday, May the 23rd, the 143rd day of 2021. On this date in history, 1934, Bonnie and Clyde were shot to death by the police. More on these stories at
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
That someday will I'll be through. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye.
Yeah, they're going off with the sound booth there. Little Buddy Holly there. I kind of went off on...
some of us know these things.
I kind of went off this morning on old stuff, so I don't know why. Anyway. Getting back, I guess...
We got a couple callers, and hopefully we got you in the way it's supposed to be, but if we don't, we apologize. I believe I got Wynn on the line. Good morning, Wynn. Hello?
Are you there? Wynn.
Hello?
For the win.
Come on down. The price is right, Wynn.
Call back, Wynn. I guess we're going to have to move on.
So we'll go to the next caller. I should have...
Good morning.
Oh, he's there. Good morning, Wynn.
I think this is Drew.
How's it going?
It's going good.
It's Wynn.
What you got for us this morning, Wynn?
Well, I just wanted to ask Kathy about the ballot, the actual ballot, because when I go in and I vote, I always take a picture of my ballot front and back. I've always done that, just kind of, you know, just so I was showing my kids earlier on before they became age appropriate to vote and so forth, just to show them what a ballot looked like and, you know, what you do and so forth. And my question is, on the ballot that we just voted on back in November, there was rumor, and I don't know if there's any truth to it whatsoever, but there was rumor about a particular paragraph being left off the ballot, and that the paragraph was supposed to be there for validity of the ballot. Is there any truth to any of that? And why? I mean, this was going out in the media, not the social media. It was in the media, and it was on. I want to say it was on ABC. Is there any truth to that you're aware of?
The American Independent Party chair here in California sent an email to registrars, I want to say in mid-October, because it was after ballots were out and published, and his allegation was that there should have been some additional instruction to voters regarding that party on the ballot. And I think that was November. It kind of makes more sense to me that it would have been in March, but it may have been in November, and that's the only thing that I can think of that marries up with what you're asking about. And as far as the Secretary of State's office never took any action on that or notified us that there was any problem with the way with the language that was on our ballots. So So then
whatever that paragraph was not necessary to be there for the validity of the ballot then. I guess that was my question.
Correct. That was my interpretation, which is why it wasn't on there. I think there were a handful of counties that included it out of 58, but I don't think it was even 10 that had it on their ballot.
When I think what you're referencing is a while ago, there was something that was supposed to be on there saying something of official California ballot or something like that. And there was a phraseology that was supposed to be included on the ballot that was not included on the ballot. And it resulted in a lawsuit whereby they were trying to toss out all of the ballots for California after the election. And there was another instance in, this is from Los Angeles, it says California threw out 100,000 mail-in primary ballots, tens of thousands of mail-in ballots were voided because of mistakes during the March presidential primary in California. The state is making modifications for November, but ultimately it's up to voters to complete the process correctly.
But if the commission, okay, if I got this correct, if FPPC or the Secretary of State...
Yeah, FPPC has nothing to do with
the Secretary of State... It doesn't send it down to the counties, and it's not in the guidelines,
right?
Then the ballots would be official. Correct?
Correct. And across the top of every ballot, what's called the masthead, it says official election ballot for whatever, and the election name and date. Mm-hmm. That's on every ballot that we print.
Yeah, and I think there was some counties that may have not had that in their print, and it ended up causing problems. And once again, I think we ended up seeing a much vaster amount of social media presence that ended up pushing a narrative that this was all of them when it was some counties. And so and it's like the other one to where they were discussing 28 million mail-in ballots going missing over these last four elections. Well, the headline on that is a little bit misleading because you have people that are sent out ballots and they don't return them in and they count that as missing. So you have these ballots that are out there. My concern, there's two chief concerns that I have from some of the things that I've been hearing today. One is that if you received a mail-in ballot, do you have any way of tracking to see if, one, they showed up and then sent in that mail-in ballot and essentially voted twice?
Oh, yeah. The DA is investigating right now.
Perfect. Okay. And the second, I forgot.
Well, and let me just say that we have procedures in place to prevent that from happening. But as you just heard from Bob on the phone, sometimes our poll workers, we ask them to be experts one day or 2 days a year. We give them 3 or 4 hours of training. They don't always follow every procedure perfectly. And so, you know, when people ask me about fraud, is it pervasive? Is it systemic in Shasta County? Absolutely not. Does it happen? Yes.
Well,
any other human. Humans are imperfect, right? By
right,
creation,
sure.
Right? So any system we create is going to be imperfect. But the point is, is it imperfect
to the point where it sways the election? That's where you run into the problems. I mean, and that's what we've seen across the board is in some of these swing states especially. It's not just been imperfect. And again, I'm not attacking. I think Shasta County elections have been pretty good because it makes sense when you've got, we hear from the left wing that, they're the majority in the county, but anybody with half a brain can know that just look around you. This is a very conservative county, and if Trump won the election in this county, that makes sense.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And across the board. But there's still the issue of can we trust these Dominion voting machines and can we trust – because, I've just got another headline here that – says that it's very concerning that Arizona Representative Fincom, Democrat, scared to death of actual ballot counts. So evidently they're actually doing the physical ballot counts to compare them with what the Dominion machines say. And I think then that's where we're going to see the proof in the pudding. If those things come up different, then there's a real problem
and
across the board.
Substantially so. And especially with that county, there was some evidence a while ago that I ended up seeing to where they were meeting with ambassadors from China prior to the election and otherwise that it was looking dicey. Now, I've recently tried to find those articles, and it's been like 3 months, and I can't pull my sources up anymore. But it comes to the heart of the situation with what we see going on. Our county seems to be a good one, and we – thank you very much for coming on and being here. I know you're in a hot seat right now. You're trying to be as transparent as possible, and that's appreciated because we want the transparency. Right. We want the conversation. We want the dialogue, and our county seems to be a very good county. Now, the other counties, the problem is you have the human element, and as Joseph Stalin once said, those who vote decide nothing. Those who count the vote decide everything. So it's not put on – our county members who had a good election. It's put on the people who are kicking out the poll watchers or changing data or otherwise.
Or are paranoid of the Dominion voting machines because of the Enlightenment. And we're going to find out if that's the case and we need to scrap them. Then we just want a fair election, that's all.
So I guess I would just argue that the way that we use any brand name equipment is really not as relevant as how we use it, right? I mean, well, that sentence didn't make any sense at all. Sorry. What I'm trying to say is, you know, doing the testing prior, doing the testing after, which is the crucial part of that whole process, and shows us that those tabulators were working correctly.
Right.
In 2004 or 5, in Napa County, totally different equipment, obviously, because that was a million years ago in elections and technology term, but they had run their ballots through their central tabulator, and when they did their hand count afterwards, they noticed that the totals were not matching, and it was because people had used those brand new gel pens, and the machine was not picking up those gel pen marks. So they had to recalibrate those machines and run all those ballots back through and to come up with the correct totals. But my point is, in California, those steps are in the process to help us find problems if they are there. And so, I mean, the equipment is important, but it's not – what it's important is that it allows every person who wants to vote to do so independently. Right. So those disability access features are a key component. That's why we have those machines at all, is to allow the folks who need a little bit of extra help, whether it's sight impairments or mobility issues or the blind, can listen to the ballot on those machines. That's the primary reason, which is allows us to be in compliance with the ADA and federal law.
I got a question. Well, I got a question from the chat room here, and the chat room's asking me to ask you, have you read the Karen Fan Senate President letter?
No.
I can email it to you, and you can probably Google it, but I'll email it to you if you would like. And it kind of goes through the points of what we've been talking about to start with. But I want to move on to the recall if we haven't got any more questions.
Okay, well, we got a caller. I don't know. Wynn, are you done? Are you still on the line?
Okay,
we'll go to Drew. Good morning, Drew. Drew?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Yes, this is circle back in today's parlance.
Can you get closer to your phone? I can hardly hear you.
Oh, wow. How about now?
Much better.
Okay, go.
Circle back, as Jen Psaki says, to the Sharpies. This is the first year I've ever been offered one, and I was wondering why that was. Now, I understand in listening to the program that gel pens, or the new style gel pens, are messing up the tabulators or whatever.
That was in the past.
Voting area. But this is the first year I've ever been offered one. I find it odd. And I understand our county is clean, and thank you, Kathy, for that. But there's other counties who are less honest, I'm going to say, as far as the blue counties, if you will. And I'm inferring that these Sharpies, through the bleed-through, and this is nationwide, in fact, I just want to know, is this the first year we've seen the Sharpie in our county?
No, we've been using them in polling places since the primary in 18. So that was two elections in 18, four special elections in 19, and two elections last year. We had Sharpies in polling places for all of those elections.
Okay.
And as far as bleed-through is concerned, in our county and in California, when you lay the ballot out, you lay it out. Sorry, I just hit my mic. You lay it out in such a way that the marking positions do not match up on either side, so that even if it bleeds through, the scanner's not looking for a vote in that area, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I typically vote absentee, but on the presidential election since 12, I've been staying home and voting that those days. Okay, well, that answers that. Thank you.
All right.
Drew,
thank you for the call in.
We appreciate that.
Sure.
Now, my last two questions. Just
If you have to.
Okay, so there were also during this last election, I personally saw pictures and images from people that I knew and were trustworthy sources of the same person receiving multiple ballots under the same name to the tune of 8 or 9 ballots to the same person.
In this county?
It was actually over in Colusa County.
Okay.
Is when I saw that one. I'm not sure you don't go that far out, but
I do not.
I've heard of other instances up here. I didn't know them personally, so I can't vouch for the authenticity of that. But in that case, it again, I'm assuming, would be investigated by the DA if you presumably went through and filled out those 9 ballots and sent them
so
in.
So if somebody returns more than one ballot, we refer them to the district attorney.
Yeah, because that's illegal. It's a criminal.
Correct.
Is that a felony?
Depends.
Okay. Generally.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's a wobbler.
I deal in law. I'm in tax law, so I know that it depends. Is it okay for me?
So you know that fraud, inherent in fraud, is intent.
Sure. So, state of mind.
Right. So if the voter can convince a jury and a judge that they didn't know and it was an accident and they didn't mean to, then there's no conviction, right, for fraud. So that's the challenge with elections fraud.
Yeah, except like the last person I seen, the one that was down in Texas, she was on tape bragging about how many ballots she was getting paid for.
When we issue duplicate ballots to folks, and that does happen actually fairly often, if we mail a ballot to you, Linda, and it comes back to us as undeliverable, we will issue a new, and we get an updated address for you, we will issue you a new ballot. But within our voter registration database, we cancel that first ballot. So every ballot that goes out on the voter ID envelope, it's called a voter ID envelope, it's the return envelope we give you to send the ballot back in, there's a number on that. And that's a unique number to that ballot and that person and that election. So if I cannot tell you the number of people who return ballots 3 years late. So when we get that first ballot back and the second one's already been issued, we know that person has now got multiple ballots in play. And the way that the state has interpreted this for us, now that we have a statewide, unified, single computer list of voters, is first in wins. So whatever ballot comes in first, we're going to count that and we're going to void anything else that was issued to them. And so the second ballot that comes in gets rejected and it's challenged under the code, already voted. So then we will, at the end of the election, then we'll go back through and round those up and have a conversation with Stephanie Bridges.
So in saying that, how many election processes before you cut the person off? Say you've sent out ballots and they never get returned. Is there a process where you go, okay, they haven't voted for 3 years, we take you off the
voter roll? I can answer that. I don't think it's very long because I just got one on my son, Anthony, who to verify his address and stuff like a couple days ago, as a matter of fact. And he's out of state. He's been out of state. And, you know, we've been getting his ballots, but I don't, you know, use them. I don't think I didn't think about it a little bit.
So Mark, the best thing for us, for the registration and for the integrity of the election, is to send it back to us and say, not at this address. And then we will update the record and we will no longer waste tax dollars mailing stuff to
It's sitting on my desk.
Please drop it back in the mail.
All right.
Okay, so last question that I had, and I think you may have already answered this to some extent about the seals and checking these, is that in 2015 in DEF CON, they had some of these voting machines, and they were still in use today, and they issued a hacking test to children. And there was a test that resulted in a 9-year-old being able to hack and change the voting machines within 3 minutes of having access to that machine. Now, I'm assuming that is why you check the seals and that is why you check these things, but this, again, gets back to the nefarious nature and he who counts the ballots in these other places, that if they are wanting to be nefarious, they could theoretically end up changing those machines on a individual basis that has nothing to do with the larger scope, but it could have a vast impact depending on the machines and locality. Am I correct in my reasoning?
Yes. And the bot, like I said earlier, I don't believe that election fraud is systemic or pervasive, but it absolutely is possible. Mm-hmm. There is no perfect system created by humans that I'm aware of.
I think it might be systemic or pervasive in a few key swing states.
We're talking Shasta County.
That's all I can vouch for is what we do. But I welcome, you know, come and hang out with us when we do, because we're going to do a very crazy, fast, hit the ground running election for this governor's recall for sure.
Well, and let's go on to the recall now, and let's talk about the, you know, a lot
you
of
you were
the
talking about the local recall.
Local recall.
There's a caller that somebody's yelling about over
oh,
there.
Oh, I didn't even see it.
So. Well, I guess we'll go to Pat. Okay. Pat K. Good morning.
Hey guys, can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, we can.
Go for it.
Oh, good. I'm kind of losing my voice from a cold. I'm just curious. Would the host agree that Ms. Darling's setup in the county of Shasta is free and fair and accurate?
I wouldn't be able to say that one way or the other, except based on my, you know, my emotions, common sense. I have no idea on how to check to make sure that that's correct, but I would say probably so.
Okay, good enough. Thanks
and
so much.
In
guys.
My case, I would say the same. I think that she's trying to be as transparent and honest as possible, and honestly, it takes a lot of guts to be in her position and come on here right now because, quite frankly, she's in a position to where the left isn't real happy with her and the right isn't real happy with her, and the people who are calling in, nobody's real happy. And
they're kind of caught in the middle on this one. And people are very emotional on
yeah,
everything
true.
That's going
yeah.
on right now. And it's understandable.
Well, with this validation from you guys, that may help the situation somewhat.
Well, we're hoping so.
We're trying to get more and more involved. I'm actually, you know, getting more and more involved. I'm not going to explain how today, but I will in the future. But
okay, have
all
a
right.
great show, you
all
guys.
Right.
All right,
yeah.
thanks for calling in. All right, let's move on to the recall a little bit. I know we've
well, the recall. You know, the questions I have on the recall.
And we're talking about the local recall.
Well, the
we're
local
doing
recall.
Local.
The first place I want to go is the money. Because, you know, we're talking about it costing a lot of money to do a recall.
Yes.
Okay.
You're talking about the cost of the actual election itself.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like $400,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ballparky.
Ballparky.
Yeah.
But would that not be a lot cheaper if we got piggybacked onto the recall with...
It absolutely would if we could consolidate those two elections. The difficulty that we're having right now across the state is trying to nail down when this... statewide recall it's going to be.
Right.
Right now we're being told, originally 6 weeks ago or so, we were told, okay, it's going to be one of these three dates, November 23, November 30, December 7th. Now we have a new Secretary of State. There's a lot of new people in her office, and they're doing stuff different than our previous Secretary of State. Things are happening in a very different way. And so now we're told, well, anywhere from September to December. So anywhere in that window we could have an election. So it will be very difficult for this local these local folks to try and thread the needle of an election where we don't even know what day it is.
Yeah, and in doing that, then, like for me, your reporting changes, correct, if they change the election process.
What do you mean,
process,
our reporting changes?
Like reporting for
the,
local recall?
The donations and stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, Linda, you're the treasurer. I didn't realize that. Okay,
yep.
Gotcha.
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, it's all coming
That's
together.
That's okay.
So, yes, the reporting
yeah.
would change.
So,
absolutely, yeah. The deadline
so we're
change.
Back again to that it's not being, and it's not your fault. In the past, there's been problems with your reporting dates are
at such time.
And now we've decided to change it, but we don't notify you of the change. You just have to know these things and keep in contact. And it can make it hard on committees and
yes.
people involved
yes.
in the recall
yes.
process.
Yes.
Is my concern
yes.
with this.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that.
Yeah.
Know?
Well, we're that's really in the weeds, right? Most people don't have any.
Right.
Any general understanding of how that works.
I got to ask a question from the chat room, and this is not exactly related to that, but it's kind of on the past topic. How many people are, do you know, how many people have been charged or convicted of voter fraud in Shasta County in any number of years?
We, I can think off the top of my head of two different convictions that we've had, one here locally and one out of the Secretary of State's Fraud Division.
Hmm.
The first one was in, I think, 2006-ish. And then the second one, it was a while ago.
Right.
So probably
so it's
like
not common. It's not common.
It's not common. No, but if you look at across the state, that's way more than a lot of counties that are a lot bigger than us.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Because we've had district attorneys who are willing to spend resources on these cases as opposed to it's a.
Well, and this is once again why your district attorney position is so important.
Yes.
And once again, getting back to the, I'll leave you out of this portion of my comment based upon how political it is, but you have this folks like George Soros that are dumping vast amounts of money into our system to get these DAs elected, which are not going after individuals like Antifa. They are not prosecuting a lot of these fraud cases, and at the discretion of these DAs, they can actually do or undo a lot of what the police force and the efforts of these local municipalities or individuals are putting their efforts into.
Okay, so I want to go back on the recall as far as, you know, we had some problems with this recall and turning in the signatures, getting it published. Yep. You know, my understanding was that the signatures were turned in, although the paper said that there was no signatures attached, when actually they were, but there was a slash S slash that wasn't transferred over. Could you explain to me what happened?
Sure. So what's required when you publish notice of intention in the newspaper, or if you post it, if there is no newspaper available, is the printed name, signature, and the residence address or business address of the proponents. So what was published initially was John Smith, 123 Main Street, Mary Smith, 123 Main Street. So that is the name appearing only one time. Clearly the law wants to see more than one, wants to see the printed name and the signature. So what we have... excuse me, in the past, what we have accepted here at Shasta County is Mary Smith, 123 Main Street, and then S slash, which is a very common legal shorthand for signature, and Mary Smith's name again.
But the signatures were turned in.
The signatures were turned in to us, but the publication was
not
the problem.
Okay,
right? The signatures were turned in
now,
fine.
That's the way it was portrayed in the media.
Who pointed that out? Did you catch that?
We had not completed our review when we got that letter from the attorney.
So the attorney
is the one who brought it to our attention, but we had not examined that document yet.
But that's been accepted practice in the past. Because wasn't it the intent?
The accepted practice in the past was to print Mary Smith, 123 Main Street, and then S slash. And in fact, that's the example. We took an ad from 2008.
But that was on the paperwork.
And gave it to the proponent so they could do that the second time.
But that was on the paperwork you received, right?
Not in the advertisement in the paper.
Hold on.
That's what I'm getting to. Okay. But it was on the paper that was submitted to your office.
The original notice of intention that was served on the supervisors and given to us. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was present.
Okay,
yes.
Then it disappeared.
This is all about the ad.
I understand. I want to make this clear because the paper slanted the facts to make it look like there were no signatures turned in, period.
Yeah, that's not accurate. You're right.
Okay. So that's what I'm correcting right now is that was an absolute lie on the part of our local media. Okay. And I'm not disparaging your position on this at all. I'm just clarifying it because...
Maybe our press release could have been better. I don't know.
Okay.
But that's certainly... You're right. There's no question that was filed correctly originally. It's the publication that was the problem, not the original.
And here's my question. Has that happened in the past?
Something similar? Yes. So
on a recall?
Yes. So when I say yes, what I mean is in Mountain Gate, we had recalls
in 2008 and 2009.
8 and 9.
Yeah.
We had the proponents. There's a lot of passionate people in Mountain Gate.
I happen to live there, just by the way.
Do you?
I do.
So in any case, all I'm trying to get at is they had to try three different times before they were able to actually get to an election. The recall process is exacting and complex and maybe overly so. I don't write the laws. I just have to enforce them and use them as my guide in what we do in our office.
Well,
so
you know,
my point is they got to an election, and I told the folks who came to talk to us, we had that conversation, and I said, if this happens, if for some reason you miss a deadline or it doesn't work, don't panic. You can start over, and you should start over.
And that's what happened, and it was resubmitted, and everything was correct.
I have a direct question.
We got to go to a break.
And then we'll go to a break.
Okay.
Has the newspaper in the past with recalls published things incorrectly with recalls and elections?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because I believe that the current Board of Supervisors that's under recall and their attorney, after reading their letter, have been initiated a smear campaign in cahoots with the media to make it look like the Shasta recall doesn't know what they're doing, to discredit them, and it's that's what they've been doing. So
yeah.
Let's go to a break.
If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Well, I hear tell you're doing well, good things have come to you. I wish I had your happiness. You had to do, I could 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 do. They tell me you you're running free, your days are never blue. Well, I wish I had your good luck charm, and you have to do, I can 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 do. See you going down the street in your big Cadillac. You got girls in the front and got girls in the back. Yeah, the way in the back, you got money in the sack. Both hands on the wheel and your shoulders right back. I hear tell you're doing well. Good things have come to you. I wish I had your happiness. You had to do, I could 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 do.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
With everything ahead of us, we left everything behind. But nothing that we needed, at least not at this time. And now the feeling that I'm feeling well, it's feeling like my life is finally mine. And with nothing to go back to, we just continue to drive. And without you I was broken, but I'd rather be broke down with you by my side. Say, without you I was broken, but I'd rather be broke down with you by my side. I didn't know what I was looking for, so I didn't know what I'd find. I didn't know what I was missing, I guess.
Cybermind Radio. Yeah, that was Jack Johnson, actually, off of the Curious George Children's programs.
All right, all right.
So that could be why you liked it.
You know, I mean...
I was going to have a big comment on that, but I'll leave Curious George alone. I'll leave him alone.
All right, so let's go back to this.
Okay, yeah, we got a lot of stuff going
cost
on.
Analysis,
but
cost. Yeah.
All right, so we've had people call in and questions, and it's been said that the recall would cost $1.4 million. We've heard $400,000. We were talking during the break, and you said that
And I said that I would work next week with staff on trying to get a really good estimate. I think the $1.2 million is actually what we spent in November of 2020, and Mark doesn't remember where he got $400,000, but I know that I have $400,000 in my brain because we have come up with, at the state level, for the state recall election, a number of about $400 million as the cost.
Can we do a high and low based on whether we piggyback as well?
That was my next question.
So that's going to be interesting and tough, and we can talk. There's a long answer to that. In 2017, in a budget trailer bill, a bunch of changes to law happened to how recalls work in the state of California.
Imagine that.
So this is interesting because, you know, our professional association in California talks about legislation. We meet monthly to talk about legislation, and this got by all of us, again, because it was in this weird little place and when that law got passed. But what part of the process that we're all waiting for right now with the statewide recall is, of course, people to withdraw their signatures. But when that time period passes, the next 30 days is supposed to be the Department of Finance, Secretary of State's office, and county election officials helping to determine and estimate how much the recall election will cost. So we will see what we hear, and then there's direction to the legislature to reimburse us, but of course the legislature could or could not do that depending on their whim at the time. So we don't have any assurance that counties will be reimbursed for the cost of the statewide recall election. Hmm. So like I say, it's kind of a complicated
On the county level, where does that money come from?
So the same dollars that pay for our sheriff's deputies fund elections. There is no regular, consistent funding from either the state or the federal government to support the process of conducting elections. It is a strictly local operation.
Is that a statute, a local statute that does that?
An ordinance?
An ordinance, statute, law.
So the U.S. Constitution delegates...
Locally, that says it comes out of the sheriff's department. Why doesn't it come out of the general fund?
I'm sorry. It does come out of the general fund, which is the fund that pays for the sheriff's deputies.
It kind of irks me a little bit when I hear that, because then it's always that, you know, we're depriving the funds where they're most needed. And the real deal is, why don't we have it come out of somebody's pensions or salaries or pet projects or something, not necessarily the sheriff's department. So it could be all of those.
It's not actually coming out of my friend Eric's back pocket. It is the same pool of money that funds both the elections. There's a bunch of general fund departments, right? And the county clerk's office is one of them.
Okay.
Well, my concept on this, too, and once again, this is just my opinion, is that we still have to take into account, yes, it could cost $400,000 or it could cost more. We'll have more concrete numbers here in coming up in the near future. But also we have to look at the costs of the businesses that are closed down, of the businesses that can't operate, of the employees that are not making money and giving tax revenue to the actual area. So when you start taking that into account and you start seeing all the help wanted signs on the door and you start seeing all of the businesses that are closed, what is the actual financial benefit or financial cost? And also the mental health status of the people who are around. We're seeing day drinking going up in record numbers. We're seeing people who are more depressed than ever, and we're seeing people that don't have any outlets in which to put their goodwill into based upon the scope of this pandemic.
I think what it goes to is the fact that and here's the problem and why the supervisors are in trouble here, is because they blindly followed Governor Brown's edicts. Mm-hmm. Okay? They didn't question the science.
You mean Newsom?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
We all know
Newsom. You knew who I meant.
He basically is a brown saint.
Well, Gavin Mussolini, if you will. So the problem with that is that it's supposed to be based on science, but it's not based on science. They didn't check any of the facts. They didn't check. We blindly followed Fauci's CDC edicts. You know, the problem is that you can't ignore the fact that in Texas that they're at zero COVID, and they haven't been wearing the masks for quite some time. So the masks don't work. So that's the problem, is that there's conflicts in what to do about the pandemic. And these guys, for whatever reason, have been caught up in that and decided to side with the governor of California and did not listen to the people who said that you need to tailor a program for us as the county. We're not the same as San Francisco.
Right. Not only that, there's the money piece that comes involved in their planning or lack of planning or their guidelines in the county that people question a lot.
Well, there was a big...
And they're you know, they're jumping back on an audit.
Well, there's a big problem when you get $23 million of CARES money that's supposed to help the businesses and so forth, and $18 million goes to make the county bigger. That's a problem.
Yeah.
When you look at if I were king, it'd be a whole lot different ball game here. But if you look at the salaries on Transparent California, you know, I mean, Randstrom is making bank. I mean, she's making $365,000 a year, I think, last time I checked. You know, her assistant's making $365,000 a year. You know, that's not just a good salary. Okay, that's more than just a good salary. When you look at the average wage in Shasta County, well, it's $40,000 to $50,000.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
the top 20% of people here are making about $50,000 in this area. So,
and I'm
you
saying
have
that's
that,
part of the reason the common, you know, white collar, blue collar guy out there is getting mad.
When you look at this across the board for what's been going on during this pandemic, who are the clear winners? You see, the clear winners are places like Amazon, Costco, Walmart, the places that remained open and got all of this business, and then big government. So you see these government jobs that are constantly expanding, constantly getting bigger, which is not what we want for a free and fair republic.
That's
but
the
at
problem.
The same time, we need to bring it back local. Sorry, guys. We need to bring it back.
Well, but that's what but we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
Let's
that's exactly
bring it back
right.
to the local level and what's going on here so we can start changing things. And that's what this is all about, right. This recall, is changing it here.
So, Kathy, I guess you're here. We should probably ask you some more questions, huh?
Before we run out of time, I want to thank you. I just want to let the listeners know, thank you for coming in. She didn't hesitate one bit when I called her.
I think it's admirable.
You're a real trooper.
Stand up, and I mean, even the people in the chat room are saying you're a trooper because you know this is not an easy forum. And I mean, I'm a nice guy, but I also ask hard questions. Mm-hmm. And I don't let things go, and I don't give people passes on things that I disagree with or want to talk about. So
this is the thing to our listeners too. During this entire time, she has not gotten political on her side of things, and she wants to be a fair, transparent arbiter of her position within this. So this is something to where she is trying to do this for the community to answer the questions that we have. And right or left, it doesn't matter. We're just trying to get the information out there to the listeners. Our beliefs are pretty well set. We have our information, but that's not her goal on this. But thank you very much for coming on.
You're now welcome. She may not answer my call the next time. She's <my number.
laughs> Linda, who?
Yeah.
That's kind of circles back to the email that I sent out. My office has really been under a tremendous amount of strain and pressure, and we have been attacked by folks on both sides of this local recall issue. And we have tried, I mean, I did a press release earlier in the week. I don't know if you saw it.
I haven't seen that.
I do a little bit of the mom, y'all need to sit down and be nice to each other talk in that press release because we're having a problem in our community where we're not hearing each other.
Mm-hmm. So are you going to commit to give me your mail list on the email?
I am not.
Okay, see.
But, I don't know why not, because I don't know why not either. I have to go look and see who I sent it to and see if there's anything.
I don't want an edited list.
Well, I think there's elements of that, too, that under the Freedom of Information Act, it probably could be drawn in.
Totally,
anyway,
absolutely.
So.
Yeah, if you do a PRA, then I have to give it to you.
There's
no secret squirrel. Nice. You know, one of the things that I've learned profoundly through, I was telling during the break, we were talking about this cost issue, and I've been working on costs for the state for about 6 years now about trying to figure out how much we're spending on elections in California, all over California. And I've had counties really push back hard on not wanting to give me that information. I even had one county call me and say, hey, if my CAO calls you, don't tell him how much I told you.
Wow. That's a little
scary. Which is, right?
So,
I have a very profound and serious understanding that this is not Kathy's House of Elections, right? This is the people's work and the people's money.
And frankly,
the people's email. So
I think that line has been blurred by most people that are elected, and that's part of the problem as well. I think they don't give a rat's behind about what we think out here. And I see that over and over again in our Board of Supervisors. That's why people are mad. But I also want to bring up the fact that there is going to be a Board of Supervisors meeting. And that meeting is going to be
there Tuesday at 9 a.m.
July 5th. And so, you're on the agenda at R3?
R3,
and you're going to be talking about the voting machines and the cost
of
the...
I'm going to talk about a lot of stuff, actually.
There you go.
Since I didn't get direction on what to talk about exactly.
What it says is you're going...
I am going to talk about that, yes.
You're going to give a presentation from your office and a representative from voting, Dominion Voting. So you're going to have a Dominion Voting guy there, too, huh?
Yeah, so remember, department heads are not allowed to be in the chamber still. So I'm going to be on whatever Zoom. Or whatever it is. Yeah. And so will the Dominion rep as well. Yeah, we're not. I'm hoping after June 15th that will change because it really is tough to do presentations when you can't see.
I think it's ridiculous myself. I mean, that's my opinion.
It's hard. It's hard for us who are making presentations.
I get it. When you're working and you have to follow, you know, I get that. That's not an attack, but that's part of the reason these guys are getting recalled is because of those kind of rules. You know, so they just suspend the Brown Act with the emergency declaration and then they are supposed to end it as soon as possible. This was only supposed to last a couple of weeks. You know, now we're into year two and a half.
Well, and this is one of my observations and exercises and thoughts. At the same time as we're seeing a recall effort going on for Gavin Newsom and it's starting to ramp up, all of a sudden now we're opening up. Huh, right. Imagine
that.
I just want to clarify something. I think you said July 5th, but it's July 1st.
Is the meeting?
It's May 25th.
That's
I said July. I'm sorry.
It's Tuesday.
I'm sorry.
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, May 25th.
Okay.
Kathy is on the agenda at R3, and there's going to be a voting Dominion representative evidently there on a Zoom meeting, and that's so we want everybody to show up to that. We want everybody to show up and give their input because you can talk. I'm pretty sure there's going to be public comment on this. Mm-hmm. And I will say,
people, please vet your information for the questions that you have. Like, for instance, the Smartmatic.
Or the statements or the...
All of this. Do your research on it. Have a concrete evidentiary-based question to be able to ask because we want to put our best foot forwards. We don't want to have the topics be all over the place. We want to get real concrete answers out of these people. So, for instance, Smartmatic was only utilized within one Los Angeles county in the entire election process across the entire nation as far as my research goes. Now, Smartmatic was a situation to where Dominion licensed their stuff to be used, and that did end up resulting in a lawsuit in the Venezuela election. So those were some of the information that I ended up getting on that.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to connect some of these dots on who's running the show.
Yeah, but if you're going to be asking these questions, come prepared already with the information that you have so that it's not reworking things that have already been debunked, because then it just makes us look bad, my opinion.
There you have it. Okay.
We have a caller coming in.
Have we got a caller?
I believe so.
Yeah, we've got about 9 minutes left.
Is
that the Board of Supervisors chamber on Court Street?
1450 Court Street.
That was an easy one.
Sorry, it kind of threw me. Is there anything you would like to say before?
Yeah, we got about 10 minutes.
Just a reminder, again, sorry, mom mode kind of kicks in sometimes, but it's, you know, everybody who works in elections around the nation is a person, is a parent or a child or a niece or a nephew and friends, and they sit next to you in church and they're at the grocery store with you. And they're, you know, I can't overstate the really scary stuff that some of my colleagues in other states are experiencing right now. And so, we want people to feel that their vote counts and that their vote is handled in a respectful and transparent way. And we encourage folks who have questions to come to our office, get a tour, see what we do. Like I said, we have an election that's going to be coming up. We don't know when it is yet, but we'll find out. And when that is scheduled, we will be happy to have as many folks as want to come and spend time with us and go to the polling places, spend time with our poll workers, go to poll worker training. I mean, one of the things we did with Bob when he came to us, and frankly, when the Election Integrity Project came to us for the first time, you know, 12 years ago or whatever it was, is they get their own training through that process. But we ask them, please also come to our poll worker training so you can see what we're telling our poll workers to do and make sure that there's no holes in our process either. All of that stuff is open to people, and we want if we as a nation do not believe that our elections matter and are valid, we have a very serious problem.
I think that is the crux of the issue
there. That's the crux of my sentence about defending our republic. We, you know, I can't defend a vendor. I can't defend any other jurisdiction. I can only defend the processes that we administer here locally. And, you know, we take this stuff very, very seriously. And we absolutely want people to believe that we take it seriously.
Right.
And the only way we can do that, I think, at this point, because of all the information and the crazy stuff that's happening all over, is by having people come and sit with us and come and spend time with us.
Well, it's also about alternative sources of media. You know, if you go back to the election with Obama when you had the two black thugs in Philadelphia standing out there with, and this was all over the media, standing out there with clubs intimidating anybody coming, no prosecutions.
So, yeah.
You know, you see what I'm saying?
Well, this goes back to the DAs and to the people who are there. I mean, I want the transparency that she's been giving us today going on in every county and city across the board.
We want fair elections, and we want honest elections.
Honest.
And lawful elections, and that's the issue, and it goes to the media. It's just like what we talked about a little earlier, the slant on the recall by the local media. When you start getting those things, then what happens is people don't trust the media. They don't trust the information that's being reported.
They don't trust anything
after a while. And then, you know, you've got the guys who are being recalled using the media as a smear.
Right.
Okay. That's a problem.
Okay. We got a caller. We got about 5 minutes. Doug, you're on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
What you got for us?
Well, the only comment I have is that when these people accept these jobs, that they take on the personal responsibility, and I really get tired of hearing how they're all a mother, a daughter, a father. The people out here objecting are also, you know, parents, grandparents, granddaughters. So let's just get to the facts. Are those machines capable of doing percentage counts on votes?
So, Doug, I think your point is excellent. Thank you. But I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not sure what you're getting at with the percentage question.
Well, you have the access to the machines, right?
Correct.
So I think that's something we should look at.
So, Doug, are you referring to the concept that there are fractional votes that have a portion of the percentage that ends up going to that vote? Because that was one of the things that a lot of people are talking about and questioning is there a fractional vote? Does my vote count at a third of what another person's vote would based upon the system? Is that what you're referring to, Doug?
Yeah, actually, I have no idea whether it does or not. I'm concerned if it does. It seems like
that would be my concern as well. Do you have an answer for us on that?
I don't. I think that is, I've heard a little bit about that in some news stories, but I don't know enough about it to answer it intelligently. I'll have to do some research and get back to you.
Well, the problem with the environment we're in, what's that, Doug?
Didn't we know that?
Well, we should, and I was going to say
she just said that she'll look into it for us.
And not if we don't do it in California, right?
The problem
I mean, I think that's a thing that happens in other states, but in any case, go ahead.
The problem is we're in an environment where we're not sure what the truth is. You know, it's true that there's so much slanted information out there from the mainstream, and you got to vet everything on the social medias. You got to vet everything that's on the internet. You got to do your own homework.
Right.
It's like when I see these Arizona audit stuff, I go and look at the letter from the Senate person in Arizona. I don't believe, you know, the article. I go to the Senate letter. And that's what you have to do more and more because we're in an environment where truth is, you know, what did Ron Paul say? He said truth is in an empire of lies is treason. And so that's what we're talking about here is that we want to start holding people accountable for the truth in the media as well as our elected officials.
Okay.
And I think that's it.
Real quick, we do have a caller. We've got 2 minutes. Jan, you're on the line.
Jay.
Oh, Jay.
Yeah.
Good morning, Jay.
Sorry, Jay.
Hurry up.
Hey, good morning, guys. I got to kind of agree with the last caller. Trying to portray all election workers as parents and mothers and fathers. I mean, are you kidding me? We saw what was going on video in polling stations. These people are activists, not in the small places like Shasta, but in the big cities where all this crap matters. in swing states. I mean, be real here.
Well, and I think that speaks to the point of her case here, is she's saying that she's getting the brunt for what's going on in these other places that clearly have some issues. She's not denying that these other locations have issues, but she's asking that you treat with respect and dignity her staff based upon what they've been experiencing. And to Mark's point a second ago, one of the things that I would ask everyone to do is that on all of these media sites, don't trust the sites that go and cite another site that's another news source as their source. Because what you do is you end up following this back and you find out that one of these news sources said this, and then the other news source quotes them, and then another news source quotes them, but you never have the actual tried-true information.
And here's another thing. When you find out that your media source is consistently lying to you on across the board on many accounts, then find another one.
Sorry, guys. And thank you for calling in, Doug and Jay, but we are at the end of the time,
wow.
The 2 hours. And thanks again, Kathy, for calling.
Goes
coming
by quick,
in. We really
it?
Appreciate it. So, we're at the end of the show.
All right. I guess we're going to hear the music anytime now.
Anytime, yep. Any second.
There we go. Those who know the truth. Those who don't know the truth are ignorant, but those who know the truth and say nothing are evil. If you're born original, don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is an injured servant and fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio.
And go to the Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday at 9 a.m. You've been listening to KCNR, 1460 a.m. and 96.5 FM.
You began to wonder why you came.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.